With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal. Institutional landlords, those companies that scooped up foreclosed homes during the housing crisis, are now buying and building houses to meet demand for rental homes. More in a moment. First, some money headlines. Apple's revenue warning was the main reason stocks fell Thursday, but not the only reason. Another factor in the stock's slide was a gloomy manufacturer's survey. The Institute for Supply Management reported that its index of factory activity fell to 54.1 in December from November's 59.3, well below the 57.9 economists had expected and the biggest fall in a decade. But the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street says the survey may have been affected in part by the holidays. Also, 54.1 is still well above the level of 50 that marks the dividing line between manufacturing expansion and contraction. Plus, like most survey-based measures, the ISM index doesn't merely reflect the reality on the ground, but also the mood of respondents. U.S. multinational companies that rely heavily on sales in Chinese markets are likely to face headwinds in the months ahead amid slower growth and rising trade tensions. That's according to Kevin Hassett, chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. But Mr. Hassett said the White House expected the U.S. economy to grow 3% this year. Most professional forecasters see the economy slowing this year. Fed officials projected 2.3% growth when they met 2 weeks ago. Shares of major airlines fell sharply Thursday. This after Delta Airlines said fare revenue didn't climb as much as expected during the holiday travel season. It fanned concerns that major carriers will struggle to maintain profits as lower fuel prices lead customers to expect cheaper flights. Still ahead, Wall Street landlords are now building houses to rent. The housing industry has been held back by a shortage of new homes, in particular a lack of entry-level houses. That's made it tough not just for millennial first-time buyers, but also Wall Street's big landlords, institutional landlords like American Homes for Rent and Tricon American Homes. These companies are responding to the housing shortage by building their own houses and renting them out to Americans who are too strapped to buy. Here to explain this is Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Dezember. So, Ryan, these institutional landlords buyer build homes for a rental market that's pretty much exploded, hasn't it?
Yeah. Since the financial crisis, the number of U.S. households that rent their homes has really exploded, while, you know, the number of those who occupy or who are owner-occupants has risen a little bit, but it's been fairly stagnant by comparison.
And this build-to-rent strategy is aimed at potential renters in the suburbs, you know, people who are a bit too strapped to buy a house.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, these companies came out of the crash, and the idea was to buy foreclosed homes for dirt cheap, rent them, fix them up, rent them out, let the price rise, charge rents. And it turns out the rental business has been so good, they got enough scale that they could build companies to manage these sort of far-flung assets. And now they're trying to buy more, and they've realized, you know, maybe there's not enough bargains out here to keep going, but we can just build houses to rent. So it shows sort of a shift in strategy where they're not trying as much to get that home, that appreciation on the value of the home. They're trying to get a nice house that they can get somebody who wants to live in a nice neighborhood, who's willing to pay for a new house and pay like a premium rent. And they're trying to capture that.
They're in it for the rental income.
Exactly.
Can you explain the advantages exactly of building to rent over buying?
Well, you know, there was a big an annual conference among single-family rental investors in Phoenix recently, and it was a big topic. And some of the things that they said is that they get a higher rent for their new homes than they do for even totally gut-renovated older homes. The tenants that move into them, they're finding they tend to stay longer in those homes, which saves a lot on turnaround costs, you know, repainting, recarpeting, if they can keep people in the houses for several, you know, year-long leases instead of one or two. And they're having, obviously, less maintenance costs because the houses are brand new. They're under warranty.
Okay, I mentioned two companies at the top of this, American Homes for Rent and Tricon American Homes. Why don't you explain in a little detail how American Homes for Rent operates?
So they came out of – they were one of the early companies to go around and realize we could buy a lot of houses very cheap, and we can probably buy enough of them that we can build sort of the corporate infrastructure to manage and maintain these homes, which had always been a hurdle before. They basically – they're in several markets across the country. They target homes where – you know, for the sort of homes that a first-time buyer, a young family might have, or older people who don't want to lock into a place but maybe want to follow the grandkids around, you know, as their parents change jobs. That's sort of their target market. And they, you know, buy – generally they buy – renovate a house to their finishes and fixtures so they can maintain them easily. And they rent them just like they would be, you know, apartments, except for instead of one roof, there might be, you know, several thousand in a city.
So if you're the company, you can either build the homes yourselves or buy them from builders. Are those the two options?
Yeah, for new homes, yeah.
I can imagine that the demand for this has been pretty high since, as we said, there's a lack of affordable homes. So people go for this.
Yeah, and I think that as interest rates rise, as the home prices rise and really soar in some of the hottest job markets where young people are, you know, getting jobs and putting down roots, that's made it harder for people to buy. And yet they still probably – there's a lot of people that want that suburban lifestyle. They want their kids in that particular school, and they'll be willing to rent to do that. And so they found a very high demand for this product.
Ryan, I get the impression from your story that not all of these real estate companies have embraced the idea of build to rent.
Yeah, there's still some that are, you know, they won't say no. They sort of say, well, you know, give me a pitch, developers, or let me see what you got, because they want to see everything. But there's still some that stick to, you know, that principle of, you know, buy below replacement costs. That was sort of the original idea. We can buy homes for less than it costs to build them. And so the companies that have gone and are building homes have abandoned that strategy and that thinking in favor of this sort of promising rental market that they sort of see this swollen rent suburban rental class sort of that emerged from the crash being something that's here to stay. Others still want that sort of they want that high-end home that's hard to – it might be closer to the city center. It's not like sort of way off in the distant suburbs and where farmland is being converted into homes, because those are probably, they think, less desirable for the sort of people they want to rent to who have jobs in the city.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Dezember joining us in our studio. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.